Dimitri, how did you find the resignation of Victoria Nuland? She was responsible for this policy in Ukraine. She had and has tremendous love for Russia. How did you find this resignation, and what does it mean for the conflict in Ukraine?
Well, she was the most qualified US official to deal with all things Russian and Ukrainian because she has, I believe, a bachelor's in Russian literature. And she also spent some time working, in the dining room of a Russian fishing boat. So I guess that makes her head and shoulders above every other American when it comes to Russia. Although I seriously doubt it. I think it was a timely departure. I hope that they blame her for everything that's happened. Definitely the plan to defeat Russia using the Ukraine as a battering ram has failed. Perhaps the Americans will now take my suggestion and formulate a new plan, which is try to suck Russia into the giant Ukrainian black hole and destroy it by throwing the Ukraine at it. Perhaps that's going to be their new plan. And even though it won't work for a while there, they'll be able to say, look, we fed the Ukraine to Russia, and it's definitely going to choke. And by the time it turns out that Russia has no plans to choke on the Ukraine, but will quietly absorb it, it'll be too late and the elections will be over and everybody will forget that the Ukraine exists as Americans are wont to do in such circumstances. So, good luck, good riddance. It's been terrible. Basically, that's it. Goodbye.
She was behind this policy in the Middle East of Assad must go, Assad must go. She was pretty much responsible for each and every policy that has failed in Ukraine and in the Middle East.
Well, she has a bachelor's in Russian literature from Brown University, but she has no such such credentials when it comes to the Middle East. So, if the policies that she formulated with regard to Russia have been a complete and total disaster, I would expect that everything she touches in the Middle East would fail, even more. Even to an even greater extent. So that's something that I would expect. And in fact, Assad must go is one of these mantras that is sort of the kiss of death. You say it and death comes and kisses you. The list of people who said Assad must go, who are no longer in any serving in any official capacity, is very long now. And he outlives everyone. So when somebody says Assad must go, basically, count them out slowly, but count them out.
She is descendant of Ukrainian immigrants in the United States. Is that correct?
Jewish.
Jewish, Ukrainian.
She's a Russian Jew, basically.
When all it started in Ukraine, in your opinion, why she was picking Ukraine over Russia if she's a Russian Jew? And what was in it for her?
Nothing for her personally. She was just basically following this order to harass Russia. Basically, the idea is the same, which is that you cause problems for Russia, and that will make Russians upset, and they will overthrow Putin and allow the Americans to install somebody more like Yeltsin. That will allow them to get right back to robbing Russia of its natural riches. So that's the whole plan. Now, how exactly they do it? Do they force the Ukrainians to attack Russia, or do they organize people around Navalny by throwing money at them, or some other little bit of subterfuge? The plans vary, but they'll misfire. None of them work. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that there are no professionals on the American side. The fact that Victoria Nuland was perhaps the most qualified of the lot of them because she studied Russian literature and because she worked at a buffet on a Russian fishing vessel, the sum total of her credentials and the source of her deep understanding of Russian character and culture, you know, that tells you that, you know, basically their plans are not likely to come to fruition.
Recently, we had German Bundeswehr talking about attacking Crimean Bridge. And we know this idea started by Victoria Nuland. Do you think she had some sort of leverage on these Europeans to forcing these kind of things against Russia?
Well, first of all, there was never any plan to attack the Crimean Bridge on the part of the German military. There was idle banter on that subject that was quite interesting to listen to, because basically they divulged the fact that the Brits and the Americans are in the Ukraine, actually in a military official capacity. So the Ukraine is actually US occupied, US run territory. And any atrocities that happen can be blamed not just on the hapless Ukrainians that are just following Americans' orders, but on the Americans and the Brits themselves. Now, as far as the plan to attack the Crimean Bridge, it's a civilian target. It's not used for any military transport. The military transport goes by sea and by land, not via that bridge. So if they destroy that bridge, okay, well, they destroyed a very important and very expensive civilian target. And that qualifies as a terrorist attack. And there is no statute of limitations on terrorism, and there are no territorial constraints. So the members of the Bundeswehr who might be incautious enough to actually carry out a plan like that can pretty much kiss their old age goodbye, because it will probably be either their life will be short, or the rest of their life will be spent in a Russian prison, one or the other.
The other thing that I think is very important when it comes to Victoria Nuland and her role in this conflict in Ukraine was the coup in 2014. That she was the main character planning everything in Ukraine. At the end of the day, with what has happened to Ukraine, when Ukrainians start to think about her role in that coup and what has happened since then to Ukraine, how would they remember her?
She will be memory hold. She will not be remembered. The Ukrainians will basically go from being brainwashed and being afraid to say anything contrary to the anti-Russian rhetoric, which has been pushed on them for 30 years. They will go from that to just basically clean slate. They will refuse to talk about politics. They will attend to more mundane interests. And that entire shameful part of Ukrainian history will basically be erased because it's so shameful. And she's part of that shameful history. She's a shameful, shameful character who does not deserve to be remembered.
She's stepping down and she's going to be replaced. Do you think that the policy would continue after her, this legacy, this type of thinking?
Well, I don't think that there's a policy anymore. They're not sending any more money to the Ukraine. So that means that the project is going to be over. So what kind of a policy could they possibly have if they're not paying for it? That's pretty much all that the Americans do is print money and hand it out. If they're not doing that, they're doing nothing. So basically the policy is dead. If the policy has failed, it has to be memory hold. It has to be forgotten. They have to come up with some kind of a victorious sounding trope. And my suggestion is that they play up this idea of Ukraine being a horrible place. It's so corrupt, it's toxic, it's full of criminals. We tried to work with them, but we couldn't. So our next plan is to feed the whole thing to Russia and hope that it chokes. I think it's a brilliant plan. And then they can go on and manufacture 3 years worth of fake news about how Russia is choking on the Ukraine, because there are sure to be problems. You know, there are always problems. So basically, as Russia dismantles what will remain of the Ukrainian government and you know, install a new one and reset the whole place and get about setting it right, there are sure to be good parts to it and some problems. And then all they have to do is only talk about the problems, and it'll seem like they've won. They've made the right decision. You know, we gave it a good college try, but these Ukrainians are terrible. We have to get rid of them. So we might as well just give them to the Russians.
If you remember during that coup, when she was talking about Europeans, she said, F Europe. How European would perceive this resignation of Victoria Nuland?
I don't think they have any choice. Basically, whoever Washington appoints to tell them what to do, they'll follow. They don't have a mind of their own, you know. They just basically, they're vassals. They're Washington's vassals. They don't have any volition of their own. So look at what happened when Victoria Nuland said, fuck the EU. Anything at all? Nothing. There was a silence. They didn't even act insulted. They just swallowed it. So wherever it is that the Americans do, whatever stooge they appoint, no matter how repulsive and revolting the next minder is going to be, the European leadership that's in place now is just going to suck it up. That's all they're going to do. They're going to suck it up, just like they did when Victoria Nuland said, fuck the EU.
We had the German parliament and the German chancellor. We're talking about that. We are not going to send troops to Ukraine. We are not going to send Taurus missiles to Ukraine. You see, behind the scenes, they're talking about these things. The question comes, who's in charge in Germany?
The Americans. It's an American occupied territory. Nobody can be a Bundeskanzler without the Americans' approval. And the job of the German government is to keep the Germans under control. So basically, they said that they are not going to send their tanks to the Ukraine, and they did. And now they're talking about not sending these rockets to the Ukraine, and they will, and it still won't make any difference. Those rockets will be shot down just as those tanks have burnt when the Russians basically saw them, and the Russians were very happy giving each other prizes and medals for destroying those tanks. Same will happen to those rockets. So basically, it's pretty clear now that the Americans have told the Germans to give these rockets to the Ukrainians. And the Germans, their job is to basically slow walk the entire process so that it looks like basically they fought it tooth and nail, but in the end they had to. So that it doesn't look like, yes, sir. It looks like, well, let us consider, and okay, we've considered, and now we're doing what's best for us, even though they're just following orders.
When it comes to Macron, do you think he has some sort of independence when it comes to the US foreign policy, what the US foreign policy is dictating Europe to do in Ukraine?
Well, I think Macron is pretty much just a little bit crazy at this point, because he's losing power. He oversaw a giant fiasco, which is the disintegration of French Africa, which is a huge economic loss for France from many directions, and just a moment of extreme shame and humiliation, because it basically ends an entire period of French history. and forecloses a lot of opportunities. The fact that the Russians are taking over French Africa because the Africans like the Russians much more than they like the French is an additional element of humiliation. So this has warped Macron's character to a point where he craves more humiliation because at least people are paying attention to him. So when he proposed sending French troops to the Ukraine and everybody just shook their heads in dismay because nobody wants to start World War III with Russia over the Ukraine, over what remains of the Ukraine, he was basking in shame, and that made him feel good.
You don't see anything coming out of Meloni and her administration. What has happened to her?
Well, basically, Italy is not significant enough to forge her own policy, either domestic or foreign. So she did the typical European thing, basically promise whatever they want to hear when you're running for office, lie as if you're running for office, and then once you're in office, basically do whatever your appointed minders from, be they from Brussels or from Washington, tell you to do, which is basically what Meloni is doing. She was very quickly brought to heel.
You said what has happened to Africa was part of this behavior, this unpredictable behavior of Macron. Do you think that in his mind, Russia has some sort of role in these problems that they're facing in Africa?
I think that the problems that France faced in Africa was that the Africans had basically enough of the French, enough of their attitude, enough of their incompetence, enough of their duplicitousness, and in general, enough of their uselessness. They tended to play both sides of every conflict because they made money selling weapons to both sides. And in such murky situations, they had more of a chance to deprive the local people of any part in resource extraction, which is basically what they were involved in. So basically, the Africans realized that they don't really have to follow along with that plan, especially if they invite some Russian private military companies that will make the French basically run away screaming in fear. And so that's what they did. And it worked out very well for them so far.
John Kerry, he was talking about unprovoked Russian aggression in Ukraine.
Russia has the ability to be able to make enormous changes if it really wanted to. I mean, if Russia has the ability to wage a war illegally and invade another country, they ought to be able to find the effort to be responsible in the climate issue. Unfortunately, because of the actions that Russia took in an unprovoked, illegal war against another nation, we have not been engaged in discussions with Russia, sadly. I say sadly because it's a loss for the world not to be able to have Russia acting constructively on this issue. But we need every country, including Russia. Russia is one of the largest emitters in the world. If Russia wanted to show good faith, they could go out and announce.
Why they're still insisting on this unprovoked invasion of Ukraine?
Well, John Kerry has been described as a haircut in search of a brain. You know, he's not the smartest man. These are the lines that he's memorized, and so these are the lines that he recites. Now, he's complaining that the Russians don't want to play along with his silly climate change agenda. And at the same time, he's making statements that would make the Russians sort of not pay any attention to him, as is the case, because he's basically reciting these tired old lies about unprovoked invasion, etc. Now, the truth of it is that his climate agenda is bogus. You know, the problem with Russia is that it's not quite as warm right now as it was in the 11th and 12th centuries. So the Russians are really looking forward to it becoming a little bit warmer. As far as carbon dioxide and the idea that carbon dioxide emissions cause global warming, actually, it's the other way around. Global warming causes carbon dioxide emissions from the ocean, which is the biggest carbon dioxide buffer in the world. When the oceans heat up, they effervesce carbon dioxide. The whole greenhouse effect nonsense. Well, greenhouses have a roof. Does this greenhouse have a roof? No, it doesn't. And what carbon dioxide in the atmosphere does is it scatters a very small percentage of sunlight and re-radiated light, not enough to make a big difference. And right now, the big issue is why is the core of the Earth warming? Because it's happening not just to this planet, it's happening to other planets in the solar system. And the physics of that are just not understood. It may have something to do with the muon neutrino flux, which isn't being measured very well, and how the cores of various planets react to it is not very well researched at all. We know that there's more volcanic activity and more plate tectonics on Earth. There's even a volcanic plume on Mars with its one huge volcano. It doesn't have any tectonic activity. There is also much more surface lava on Venus. And the outer planets are experiencing storms that don't follow the usual pattern. So something happened in outer space that is causing planets to warm up a little bit, but we don't know enough about it. But sure enough, it has nothing to do with carbon dioxide emissions on Earth. We can be absolutely certain that carbon dioxide emissions on Earth are not warming up Mars.
When it comes to the guy who is replacing Victoria Nuland, John Bass, how did you find him? Do we
He's
know
the
anything about
undertaker.
him?
Yeah, I know. Well, basically, he's next in line, so that's why he's in. No other reason. Just basically, you look down the list, past Victoria Nuland, there he is. Now, as far as American foreign policy failures, he's the undertaker. If you look at his entire career, basically, every time he gets involved, it's because a policy has failed and he has to clean up. So he's the cleaner. So if he stays true to pattern, he'll do what I suggest he'll do, which is feed the Ukraine to Russia and pretend that it's a victory because the Ukraine is toxic and Russia is going to choke on it. I think it's a brilliant plan. I won't even charge him for that suggestion. He can just steal it from me for all I care. But he's the undertaker. That's what he's going to do. Basically, they're not really following along with their plan to destroy Russia by using Ukraine. They're not. They've given up on it. It's already too much of a fiasco. They have realized that they're out of weapons, and even if they weren't, giving more weapons to the Ukrainians would just extend and prolong the conflict. They realize that the idea of fighting the war to the last Ukrainian is sort of running into a shortage of able-bodied Ukrainians willing to fight. Right now, in the Ukraine, supposedly there're about 700,000 soldiers unaccounted for. Nobody knows where they are. There are about 300,000 soldiers that are sort of there and willing and ready to fight on some level, although that's not definite either. And the whole thing is being very carefully slow walked by the Russians because the Russians think that they can just gradually move the front line west without suffering any casualties at all, really. They're just being very careful. But on the Ukrainian side, they're killing 1,000 people a day or so. A lot of that from aerial bombardment, which they've gotten very good at. And so what can the Americans possibly do in that situation except purposefully walk away and claim that that's the victorious tactic to follow? Pretty much that's it. That's all they can do. And yes, it's an election. It's Joe Biden's to lose if he lives that long and doesn't do a pratfall that will put him out of commission. It looks like Trump is, everybody's saying Trump is the next president. Trump doesn't really want to continue this campaign in the Ukraine. He'll end it as quickly as possible on whatever terms. So yeah, it's pretty much over.
Since this conflict started in Ukraine, Russia was not willing to cross the Dnieper River. And what does it take for Russia to go crossing the Dnieper, capturing Kiev?
Well, it would be very nice if the Ukrainians on the other side of the Dnieper were waving Russian flags and throwing flowers at the tank columns. That would certainly entice the Russians to go there. I'm not sure how long it'll take for that to happen, but it could. As far as staging some sort of an invasion, well, you know, that might result in some casualties, and the Russians don't like casualties.
Russia sees the security of the western part of Ukraine as a part of their responsibility, or they see as some sort of collective responsibility among Russia, Europe, and the United States.
Well, the totally Machiavellian thing for the Russians to do would be to slice and dice Western Ukraine into little pieces and hand them out to Poland, to Romania, and to Hungary. And because the whole area is so confused, and because it's riddled with Nazis, because the Nazis are from Western Ukraine, that will give these three countries plenty to think about for many decades. So that would be a very Machiavellian thing to do. But nobody really knows what the future holds. It's really unclear. There's nothing very constructive happening right now, that's for sure. So I think we're jumping ahead of ourselves thinking that anyone really has a plan as to what to do with Western Ukraine. The Poles think that they want a piece of it, but on closer examination, they might decide that no, they don't want any of it. And that might actually happen to a lot of the customers out there. They may decide that no matter what the price, they don't want this country. They just really don't want the Ukraine because it's not going to help them.